You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 20th, 2020. Just as surely as you have a picnic, the ants are going to show up. Just as surely you start sending stimulus checks out across the nation, here come the fraudsters trying to steal that money. There have been numerous warnings from the FBI. Watch out for these schemes. You've got folks calling and acting like they're a member of the Social Security and say, we've got your check here for you, but we need to get your number verified. Give me your Social Security number so we can send it to you. It's a scam, and there are malware links also getting into personal devices trying to steal identities and other banking information. And now there's another. The Federal Trade Commission warning that in some cases, nursing homes are taking the money intended for a nursing home patient. They've apparently documented it in Iowa and possibly other states that nursing home staff coercing residents on Medicaid to hand their stimulus check to the nursing home. Wrong. If you have anyone that is in a nursing home, you need to make sure that that money is not being stolen from them. That's not to take away from the nursing homes that do a proper and legitimate job of taking care of those in need. Coronavirus patients in a new Chinese cluster are showing symptoms different from what we saw from Wuhan. This word coming out of China, and I don't know if it's new or they've had it for several weeks, who knows, but they're now claiming that in northeastern China they have a new form of the coronavirus and that the patient showing up there, it's in this case, according to them, they have some symptoms as the originals, but they're taking longer to recover. We don't know if it's going to develop past that point. Florida and Georgia, of course, a couple of states that have been among the first to announce they reopened for business. Now they're under scrutiny asking, are you accurately reporting your COVID-19 cases? They've got various folks asking, look, in Florida, you haven't had a lot of deaths and you've been open for some time. Georgia, we thought we'd see a bloodbath and now we want to know, are you hiding, are you fudging the numbers? Do you have cases and you're not reporting them? Also questions about Vermont, Virginia, Texas. All right, if the numbers are being fudged, I want the facts and the truth. Let's get the facts out there. But what I fear is someone is going to look at this and see, we got to keep everything closed down because there might be some fraud on that. There could be, but give me some proof instead of closing everything down again. And in the meantime, with our elections coming up, some states saying they're going to start mailing out mail-in voting for the upcoming election. Michigan sending out 7 million ballot applications. If you want to vote, you've got to return the application. President Trump says you're opening the door to fraud. I'm against it. We're going to put a stop to it. We're going to try to cut back any funding to states involved in mail-in voting at that level. One thing COVID-19 did was save a man. COVID-19 saved him for a while. A Missourian on death row for 3 decades to be put to death by lethal injection. But then when all the concern about COVID-19 began, states across the nation put any executions on hold, and so it was in Missouri. Well, now he has been executed. California City declaring itself, we're a sanctuary for business. We're a sanctuary for business. We're not going to go into these lockdowns. This is coming from the mayor in California of the city of Atwater. That's about east of San Jose. And he says, we're going to not lock down our city. We're going to be a sanctuary city for business to open up. He said, I don't want any jeopardizing businesses. We're going to do everything we can to help the citizens get back up. He said, the revenues are down. We're following the Constitution. But we've got to make sure we take care of our community. And then in Florida, you got the woman who kind of busted the social distancing. She went to the Melbourne, Florida, Monkey Barn Grill. Now, that sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? So she went in there, and she thought she'd have some fun, and she started grabbing men at random and kissing them. Now, normally, a guy would not have a problem with it, but now, oh, no, you social distancing, violation, and police got called. She's running around kissing strangers at the bar. When was the last time men would call and complain about that? Well, I can't think of one, but in this case, with COVID-19, apparently they're taking a different look. Now, maybe they should have all waited till closing time, because at closing time, there's a lot of kissing that goes on at that point, because everybody looks better at closing time because the lights are out.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think that Planned Parenthood and their supporters understand that the 2020 election is key for them. If they can win this election, they can overturn state regulations that have been very effective nationwide. They know that the stakes are high for Roe right now. They know that if we are able to reelect Donald Trump, that we are seriously looking at the overturn of Roe v. Wade, which would bring abortion back to the states. So they know the stakes are very high. Planned Parenthood has definitely a very vested interest in keeping abortion access as available as possible.
That's Abby Johnson, former Planned Parenthood clinical director. She's walked away from that, and now she's pro-life. And she's saying Planned Parenthood is gearing up for a major battle this time around. They did for 2016, but this time the stakes are higher in their view. They're putting forward $45 million in their campaign fund. And, of course, it'll be spread across the states on various state elections as well, congressional elections, Senate elections, and certainly the presidential election. $45 million. Now, I'm going to tell you something very quickly and ask you at the same time. Planned Parenthood says, we take care of women. We meet their needs, their health. And you really want to spend, my question, do you want to spend $45 million of the money you have to take care of women, to get out and campaign for causes? And they're campaigning only on the issue of abortion. That's exactly what they're campaigning on. They want you to believe that we're campaigning on a much broader issue of women's rights and women's decisions and women's health in general. Everything from mammograms to various treatments and so forth, that's what we're all about. But that's not the essential ingredient of Planned Parenthood. We have clinics all across the nation. that do the same work except for abortions. As the law stands now, no federal dollars can be used for an actual abortion. But they do get federal dollars, but they had to redirect it, say, well, we're using it only for employee pay or utilities or rent and so forth. Cannot actually say federal dollars were used for the abortion. But if they didn't have the federal dollars coming in for the other items, then they wouldn't be there to carry out the abortion. So, yeah, they're looking at 2020. It's going to be critical. Trump already naming two justices to the Supreme Court, putting a more conservative slant on it, moving closer to destroying Roe v. Wade in the sense that it would go back to the states to make the decision, not be a federal law, but let the states, and if states want to go ahead and move forward and accept abortions in their state under certain requirements, that would be a state decision, but would not be mandated and protected by federal law. But they know that they've got to make sure they keep this at the forefront. And for them, this is going to be big. And in fact, Abby Johnson talks about what happened with 2016.
We saw them invest over $25 million in the 2016 campaign to only have an upset win by Donald Trump. They invested a significant amount of money, millions of dollars, into Hillary Clinton's presidential run. That failed.
It failed. And that was $25 million, she said. Now they're looking at $45 million. Planned Parenthood, by the way, always looking for money. Any way they can get it. According to the Small Business Administration, 37 Planned Parenthood affiliates applied for and received $80 million in loans from the Paycheck Protection Program. It went out to these Planned Parenthood affiliates. And why? I don't know who was sitting there watching it come through and say, yep, Planned Parenthood, let's approve it. So the SBA is now reaching out saying, you're not eligible for it. You need to send that back. And actually, some of the Planned Parenthood groups that got it, they sent it back anyway. And they didn't even apply for it. But then you got others that know we're going to use every dollar. But as you can imagine, every dollar that Planned Parenthood took was a dollar that did not get to legitimate small businesses. Planned Parenthood is a large organization, and they try to break it up like some of the major restaurant chains were doing. Well, we have a restaurant in this city. It has, less than 500 employees, so we should get it for that. No, you're all part of the chain. You don't get to count that location separate. The response from Planned Parenthood at this point, basically, no, we are owed this. We're not going to allow the Trump-Pence administration to bully us into withholding critical health from our patients. But we'll take $45 million and use it in a campaign to get rid of the president. And, of course, Planned Parenthood has taken a real hit in the sense of Title X funding. Title X, the only federal grant program dedicated solely to providing individuals with comprehensive family planning and related preventative services. The overall purpose, promote positive birth outcomes and healthy families by allowing individuals to decide the number and spacing of their children. Now, what it came down to, they were told under the Trump administration, since October 2019, nearly 900 clinics lost Title X funding under the Trump administration rule, saying if you're getting abortion money, if you're performing abortions, you're not going to be entitled to Title X money. And, of course, you listen to them and say, well, this is money that would be needed to take care of people. And that, therefore, our clients are being damaged and harmed by this ruling. Kristen Hawkins is with a Students for Life group. And she said, basically, what you have is the Planned Parenthood crying foul
They've given every opportunity to Planned Parenthood, and they've been very fair to Planned Parenthood to allow them to continue to receive Title X funds. All they have to simply agree to do is stop selling abortions when they're counseling women, meeting women, servicing them in Title X, using Title X funds, and that their abortion facilities can't be co-located within a government-funded clinic.
That's pretty simple. You'll get it, but you have to go through these requirements. Well, some of them didn't want and said, no, we're not. We want to do it our way, and we're not going to be dictated by the Trump administration. Again, they come up with what they consider their best and only argument. Here's again Kristen Hawkins.
They're going to be saying that women are hurting because Planned Parenthood isn't receiving the $60 million in Title X funds. And that's simply not the case because this money hasn't been taken away from low-income women. Instead, it's being redirected to health centers that actually help women have a family.
Have a family, not abort. Health and Human Services says that millions of dollars in the family planning grants now going toward health departments and clinics across a long list of states as some of the money went pulled from those abortion clinics. The money is to prioritize unserved and underserved jurisdictions and low-income individuals. There's not an intent to have those who can't afford proper care, prenatal or even natal care or others. No, it's still there. The Planned Parenthood doctrine, though, is that we would get to talk to you about abortion and we could get to perform abortions. HHS, the Health and Human Services Department, looked at providers in Planned Parenthood that just weren't going to change. Government health departments in New York, Massachusetts, Maryland, Illinois, Vermont, Oregon, every one of them apparently refused to budge on abortion. Say, we still want to perform abortion. Say, well, you're not going to get Title X money then. Do you understand? No, we still want it. Because you're taking away an option for women. You're hurting women and their health care. No, we're not. They can go at these other places that we are sending money for health care. If they want abortion, then you're going to do it anyway, and you'll do it, but you're not going to get Title X money in the process. Now, of course, the Democrats are all sewed in on Planned Parenthood. You've seen previously Hillary Clinton getting the Sanger Award for the founder of Planned Parenthood and just praising what the founder of Planned Parenthood did. And I will remind you, in case some of you don't know it, the original concept was basically genocide and ridding the populace of those less desirable black and other minorities. But it was sold to the black community and through black churches in some cases, this is going to be better for you. You won't have to have so many kids. Well, there are a lot of other options other than having abortions to stop so many kids. But they were using it as a case of genocide. Nancy Pelosi at the Narral 50th anniversary dinner last year, she said Republicans are ignoring basic morality when they ban abortions. I'm ignoring basic morality because I want to save an unborn baby. That's ignoring a basic morality. And of course she said, we know this is an all-out assault on women's reproductive freedoms. Republicans seek to impose abortion bans on millions of women in dozens of states. And she said, every woman everywhere has a constitutional and moral right to basic reproductive health care. Reproductive health care does not say abortion. And there is no constitutional right. It's simply a ruling by the Supreme Court. It's not in the Constitution. So Roe v. Wade could be in jeopardy. And that's what has these folks so very concerned. And of course, is they make their arguments and insist that we need more money. And if you're against abortion, you're against women. I think every man out there I know has a mother and may or may not have sisters and or a wife or girlfriend. And maybe they did or did not have babies. I don't know. That's between you. That's the whole thing. But a woman making a decision that it's all about me and not the baby, it's my choice. I have an answer for that. And if you've listened to this program for a while, you're probably already ahead of me. And by that, every time someone comes up to me and starts pushing abortion rights in Europe, caveman creature for not understanding this and being called out, as Nancy Pelosi says, that I don't have basic morality because I'm against abortions. Every one of them who come forward and make that argument to me, every one of them, and you can use this as well, the fastest and quickest way, although they'll still mouse around, you simply say, well, if your mother had made that choice and aborted you, you would not be here talking to me. End of discussion. But, of course, we have other issues with abortions coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So when I was talking a moment ago about federal dollars and stimulus funds being sucked up by Planned Parenthood, a couple comments coming in at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Gary saying, no, Drump, as he says, business supporters sucked up all the funds slated for small business. Gary, thanks for commenting. Sharon saying they should be closed, talking about the Planned Parenthood facilities. And again, Planned Parenthood, there's some unsealed documents that came out in a recent court case. This is a lawsuit against a pro-life journalist in Planned Parenthood. And according to this unsealed documents, there were numerous invoices showing Planned Parenthood charging $5,800, $11,000, $7,000, a total of almost $25,000, selling baby parts. Now, Planned Parenthood said, well, we were not paying for the act. We weren't charging specific parts, but they have an agreement with a group called STEM Express, $55 per POC, or products of conception, another term for fetal remains, $10 per sample blood. Planned Parenthood said, no, that was to cover, basic transportation and exchange, so forth. We weren't trying to profit from it. But nowhere on there does it show anything in reference to transportation or time spent by staff or any reimbursement, anything. They are simply assigning a fee per body part they take in an abortion. And STEM Express, in its brochure, which handles all the services for Planned Parenthood, promises financial profits. No, it's clearly selling parts of babies, what's left of them. It's a federal law against selling aborted fetal organs and tissues in exchange for valuable consideration. And this guy that has this lawsuit says what they're doing is they're turning children in the womb into a commodity. And again, Planned Parenthood would have you believe, no, we are here to serve all women and all health needs. Let me go back to Abby Johnson, former Planned Parenthood clinical director, now with Pro-Life. And she says, when you hear them talk about health care essentially for women, we'll just listen to her response.
This really isn't about health care for them. Health care is down very, very low on their list of priorities. They lost $60 million in Title X funding by their choosing because they refused to stop referring and providing abortions. And instead of saying, you know, well, okay, we're going to take this $45 million and put it into health care for low-income women, where they say that they're so strapped for money, they just don't have any money, they don't have any funds, they're taking this money and they're putting it and investing it into fringe candidates who believe in abortion up until birth.
Up until birth. Up until birth. Numerous states have already signed off on such legislation. This election coming up, do not think it's not going to be important, not just for the presidency, but for control of the Congress and issues like this. We'll take a break. When we come back, there's a guy who says, I can tell you the inside story of what the DOJ was doing to destroy the Trump presidency. He said, I saw it. I was in the midst of it. I'll share his thoughts with you when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, trying to find hypocrisy inside the Democrats is so easy. It's like if you take a shotgun and you go out bird hunting, you're hunting doves. I mean, you got something like a 12-gauge, and you got a flock of birds coming over, you just kind of shoot into the center. You're going to hit some, maybe several. It's that easy with the Democrats and hypocrisy. Latest point as an example, Columbia Law School. They have a commencement address coming up. I think it's this evening. Now, Columbia Law School got a lot of attention when Brett Kavanaugh was moving forward with his confirmation. Columbia Law School was essentially united in opposition to Kavanaugh. And they even established a new mandatory sexual misconduct education initiative. Dozens of faculty members signed the petition. They were not at all happy with Kavanaugh, saying that his temperament alone was disqualifying, and students at the Columbia Law School, these are future lawyers, gauging something based on someone's statement, not facts, a statement, and they're going to be lawyers, right? Yeah, apparently so. They were staging around-the-clock protests because of the accusations. Well, they've got a guy coming in to give their commencement address. And the Columbia Law School dean has already issued a statement praising him as a leader, a lawyer, a public servant, an example. Joe Biden. Joe Biden being lifted up as their commencement speaker who's currently facing allegations of Tara Reid of sexual abuse, and others have come forward with some stories and documenting hers, I should say, not documenting, but backing her story up. It's still a he said, she said of what took place. The only two of them know, as it was with the Blasey Ford and Kavanaugh. But these law school students, of course, the ones who protested then are probably moved on. They're probably practicing somewhere. That's scary. But now the Columbia Law School is bringing in Biden, saying he's an outstanding example for our students. Can you spell hypocrisy? I don't think they can, but the rest of us can, and we'll help them out. It starts with a big H. So the acting director of National Intelligence, Richard Grenell, now fully declassifying an email that the former Obama National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, emailed herself. She emailed it to herself hours before leaving the White House on January 20, 2017, on the day of the inauguration. She sent herself an email making notes of a now scrutinized meeting at the White House, January 5, 2017. Remember January 5, 2017? That's when Obama, at that time, had his top advisors come in and talk to him. FBI Director Comey at the time. And we also had Brennan and Clapper. And we had Sally Yates of the Attorney General's office. All of them in there, and Biden. And they all talked about, with Susan Rice as well, the Michael Flynn investigation. Well, now the entire memo that she wrote herself has been released. And the newly classified portions revealing that Comey said, I'm proceeding by the book. And he did have concerns that Michael Flynn was speaking to the Russian ambassador Kislyak too frequently. But he didn't express any other concerns. All this shows that Obama knew what was going on with the Flynn investigation, as did Biden, even though Biden had said previously, I know nothing. And all of those who were behind the doors testifying to what they knew, and they were saying we have no evidence whatsoever that Trump or anyone in his team colluded with the Russians on the election. They all said that behind closed doors in sworn testimony because they didn't want to perjure themselves. But when they went around the nation on the various talk show, they were always saying, we've got another shoe's going to drop. Just stand by. We're close to something. In other words, having you think Trump is guilty and we're going to get him. With this new declassified email that Rice sent herself, there's a section, as I said, that Comey suggested to Obama that the National Security Council might not want to pass, quote, sensitive information related to Russia to Michael Flynn. And Comey even suggested that the administration might want to share any sensitive information with Flynn. These guys are coming in. They need to know everything that's in play at that time with Russia, but they were going to say we're going to hold some of it back. Now, supposedly Rice held four or five different meetings, a total of 12 hours with Flynn explaining Russia as they saw it in the White House at that time. But you had to wonder what they were holding back and what they were saying. Because in the back of their mind, they're still setting him up. Matthew Whitaker was a chief of staff to the Attorney General of the U.S. He has out a book, and he did serve as Attorney General for a period of time. Matthew Whitaker. The book is Above the Law, the inside story of how the Justice Department tried to subvert President Trump. Now, again, this is his book, his recollections, his comments. We might get him on the program in the future, but I got this excerpt in front of me that I think this was published by Breitbart, but it's out there in various sources. But let me read you some of this. He said, I'd been acting Attorney General for 15 days at the time of the Thanksgiving Day press conference, and I'd been presumed guilty of bias against the Mueller investigation, biased already, even though I hadn't done anything. He said, very quickly, I learned that if you're a political appointee in President Trump's administration, the media and congressional Democrats, among others, immediately presume you must be guilty of something and they will stop at nothing to tear you down. And he also said if you are a career official, on the other hand, no evidence of supporting the president, you're regarded as someone free of malice, a modestly paid civil servant, toiling with only the nation's best interest at heart. In the press, career official is practically a synonym for innocent. Later on, he said leaking to the press was unfortunately endemic among the more politically minded officials of the Justice Department. I was far from the only victim. In fact, even anti-Trumpers could be the victims when other officials were trying to protect their backs. He said, for instance, FBI lawyer Lisa Page publicly complained about, quote, my Justice Department betraying us, when her texts unrelated to the Inspector General's investigation were leaked by the Justice Department to the press. Again, this is Whitaker, who was the acting Attorney General for a period of time. He said, in my case, unidentified sources were more than happy to leak to the media and congressional Democrats that I had to be guilty of something as I stepped into the acting Attorney General role on November 7, 2018. He points out that on October 11, 2018, President Trump told Fox News, I can tell you Matt Whitaker's a great guy. I mean, I know Matt Whitaker. But Whitaker then writes, only 2 days after I was appointed, the half-truth smears continued, the media relentlessly pressing the president, and the president would say, I don't know Matt Whitaker. He has a great reputation. That's what I wanted. And Whitaker goes on to say, it's true. I was not a longtime member of his inner circle. That's what he was trying to convey. I'd met him just after I joined the administration. He said, since I'd become chief of staff, I'd worked closely with him and others in the White House. I thought I had a good impression. And shortly after he made those comments, we had a conversation where he expressed his respect for my work. He said, I should also mention that as days passed, more information came out. The president appeared to feel more confident in defending me. Then he points out that 2 weeks after President Trump's Thanksgiving Day press conference, he nominated William Barr as the permanent attorney general. Whitaker says, I could feel the tide turning that day. As the smears grew quieter, I was no longer their target. General Barr was the right man for the hour. I was not naive about the media and about congressional and bureaucratic policies in Washington. I was well aware of partisan politics, but I had no idea the extent to which it would go to damage this president, me, or anyone who supported them. Again, this is Matthew Whitaker, who served as acting attorney general for a period of time under Trump till Barr came in. And that's part of his book, Above the Law, Inside Story of How the Justice Department Tried to Subvert President Trump. Basically, they were doing everything they could to overthrow him. That's what they were doing. Stopping him, attacking, giving no quarter, giving no consideration that maybe we're wrong, maybe we're too biased, maybe we're being nothing but attack dogs. No, they justified it in their minds that we're doing the Lord's work. They were bound determined because Trump shouldn't have won. That was the whole idea. Trump was never supposed to win. Whitaker, in one comment, finishes this up, or at least this one statement. I still thought there were some fundamental rules of fairness that almost everyone in positions of power and responsibility followed. I freely confess now I was wrong. Coming up the next hour, Obama says, I'm not going to do it. I don't care what protocol is. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because of Trump. And then also, well, I've got more for you.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a tradition. Oh, by the way, I absolutely frightened Quentin, and maybe you, and maybe me, as I think. Apparently I said in the next hour when I meant the next segment, and Quentin said, we got another hour to go? I said, yeah, we do today. No, we don't. I'm only kidding. My bad. Anyway, it's a tradition of presidents unveiling the official White House portrait of their predecessor to do that with the predecessor with them. That means President Trump would be there to unveil the portrait of President Obama. Former President Obama said, I'm not interested in participating in that tradition with Trump. He's just not going to take part. It's been underway for decades. He's just not going to take part. I don't want to go in the White House because Trump is still in it. And we're told that we act uncivil and childish? Really? Really? Well, on one hand, I'd say not a big deal, but it's just the attitude. It's the attitude that burns me more than anything else. I don't really care about it one way or the other, but if it's been a tradition, that's what they normally do. And you do know that Michelle Obama, in her book Becoming, or whatever it's titled, said the moment after we got in the plane and got away from everyone, we were leaving D.C. for that last time, she said, I broke down and cried. She said it was all the pressure we'd been under all the years. And also could not believe that that man won. That's really came down to it. Obama said, I'm not going to go there. I don't know if you've noticed it, but a lot of folks are wearing face masks now. Some of them driving around their car just with themselves in the car wearing it. I don't understand that. And some businesses encourage you, if not mandate, that if you're going to come in the store, you have to wear it. It's their store, their business. They can make that. And some employees, if their employer tells them you have to wear a mask, they have to. Of course, if you go in a restaurant and they have a mask rule, like at some point you get to take it off so you can eat and drink, whatever. But now some folks are coming out, well, let's make money off this. Decorated cloth face coverings, as they call them, are coming out. A lot of online retailers are already coming out with animal and skeleton print masks already. Fashionable. And whether or not they are actually effective is another issue, but they're looking at making them fashion wear. In fact, the author of Fashionopolis, have you read that book? Me either. She said, masks are going to become fashion items. We'll wear them like sunglasses or T-shirts or even handbags, and we'll choose to make a statement. In other words, designer face mask. I saw an ad the other day on the internet for something, and one popped up, and it was someone selling their particular face mask. You know, I want to say it's Kardashian. I'm almost sure it was. In fact, I think it was. And there were several women wearing different masks. And every woman was there in a bra. I don't know. I don't understand the connection. They're wearing a mask and a bra. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just telling you. It didn't make any sense to me, but I guess, I don't know. I couldn't even begin to explain it. But I could probably come closer to explaining that than this next story. This next one, this one takes some real thought. I mean, in this one, maybe you could use this in one way and another way. I mean, it could be used as a body wear and then also as a mask. It's happening in L.A., of course. It's putting names of three prominent pandemic personalities on some clothing. One has Newsom on it, as in Governor Newsom for California. One has Fauci, you know that. And, of course, Cuomo for the New York governor. And they're launching this, and they're saying, order now, because they're going to go out quickly. And they're claiming that, look, we're going to take half of any profits and use it to donate to healthcare workers in New York City and California. So they're telling you that if you buy it, we'll also make sure money goes to help the health workers on the front line, help them rest, recharge, and relax, hopefully in our special apparel. So they got names like Newsom, Fauci, and Cuomo on their clothing. And in one case, one that's for, as they say, the hipster governor of California, it says, "For this is for those loving on the governor of California." And another one says, "If you're thirsty for the New York governor, you want this one." They are putting these names of Cuomo, Fauci, or Newsom on underwear. Underwear. And if you, as I said, if you're thirsty for the New York governor, you want to buy the one that has Cuomo's name on it. That's what they're saying. And they're trying to tell you we'll give half the profits to help the healthcare workers. Now, again, I'm thinking, would these also double as a face mask? Do you have to, would, I'm having a disconnect. You? I'm having a total disconnect. It could. You have to decide how you use it first. I think that's a critical point. Then maybe you know. Always, thanks for joining us. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.